You are now listening to the Sports Life Talk podcast, hosted by Kevin Tumnus and Serge Vasudevic, where life without sports is just talk, on blogtalkradio.com.
Christmas and welcome to episode 3 of Sports Life Talk. I'm KT with my man Serge. How's it going, man?
Good. Chilly, but I'm good, man.
Yeah, it's cold outside, man. It's spooning weather. what are your plans for Christmas, man? First of all, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, brother. Merry Christmas to you too. Our first official Christmas together as co-hosts.
I know, we should have dressed up like elves or something, man. We missed a boat on that.
All right, maybe next year. Next year we could do that. My plans for Christmas, opening up, you know, presents, with my, nephews, which is definitely something different because usually, you know, it's kind of just like exchanging gifts with each other, with my wife, and, you know, family and things like that. But this year having, two nephews of 7 and 3 in our household. So there's going to be a lot of, loud noise going on Christmas morning. Outside of that, honestly, what I do every year for the last, I don't know, 8 to 10 years, watch basketball all day.
And this year we have two football games on Monday night, yes, along with the basketball. So our sports, we will have plenty to talk about when we come back for our next episode.
Absolutely.
For me, man, I'll be with my families, I'll be with my in-laws, and I'll be over my cousin's house on my mother's side.
Okay.
That's something we do every year. We have a Secret Santa, which I still have to go get gifts. So after this podcast, I'm running off and doing that, man. So my question for you, man, a lot of people don't think about the players on this day.
Right, right. You know, spend time away.
They're not with their family. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think, you know, it is obviously, for the most part, depending on obviously if it falls on a weekend like it is this year, and it being week 16 in the NFL, you're obviously going to have people, you know, the guys that are playing away on Christmas Eve, the guys that are also who have to play on Christmas Day that are also playing away. And then obviously you got every year you have NBA basketball. There's always 5 games. So all the teams that are obviously playing away from home are obviously the ones that don't get to be with their family or don't get to keep a routine of what they normally would like to do. You know, but they make the most of it. And at the end of the day, they also understand that it's part of the business, and they understand that by being able to play on Christmas Day, it's also you get the spotlight on that day. So when your average fan who maybe normally doesn't watch basketball to the playoffs or something like that, you know, they're able to see what teams are out there, because usually for the most part they do put the high profile teams on that day to play basketball.
Yeah, but my thing is I would like to see them switch it up. I don't think it's fair that every year the same team should play. They should be able to spend time with their families too. So
sure.
If I'm the NBA, I'm trying to, you know, really get everybody's name out there, not just the LeBrons, the Currys, but, you know, we have other stars in the league as well. Like you have Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
You got Kawhi Leonard. Right. I mean, I said Damian Lillard and Kawhi Leonard. You have, right, you know, players like that. So let's switch it up so LeBron can be with his family one year.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's fair to them, but it's all, everything comes down to money
and ratings.
Mm-hmm. And LeBron, he's the big ticket in the NBA.
That's true.
So let's move on to LeVar Ball.
another week with LeVar Ball.
Another week. But this time, I like where he's going. He wants to start a junior basketball association. So he's claiming that he will begin a basketball league for college-age players who do not want to go to college. He says he would pay them anywhere from $3,000 to $10,000 a month based on skill and allow them to focus on preparing for their pro careers. What are your thoughts on that, Serge?
You know, I'm very torn. I like the idea of what he's trying to do. I think there's a lot of misnomers and unknowns just by the speculation of what's out there. I think it's very difficult to gauge. My first, you know, when you talked about, you know, players getting paid $3,000, $10,000 a month, first and foremost, I want to know how that money is being raised.
He said he's going to pay for it himself. That's what he said.
I mean, he's talking about having 10 teams, and I would assume each team would have at least 10 players.
So it's like, he said close to 80 players in the league.
So it's like paying the players, paying for their travel, paying for their hotel, paying to rent out their arenas that they're going to have the games. I mean, it's, and I'm not really sure, is Big Ball a brand, quote unquote, is it that advanced to where they have, I mean, I'm not saying that they don't have potential investors or something like that, but where are they getting the funding necessary for it? And the other part of it is, I would assume that the kids that would go play in these leagues are guys who probably would have gone to college and been one and done anyways. So as opposed to not going to college and they can actually just hone in their skill and actually get to play and not maybe, you know, get dictated by the coach on how many minutes they get to play in a college game. I think that can be very good, but also on the flip side to it, it's also, you know, the guys who maybe think that they can make it in the league and then they do it anyways and, you know, they would rather just get $3,000 a month, or even some of the, you know, the parents of kids who are, you know, who barely can make ends meet, but, you know, their son may be talented enough to play. And they'd rather just get the money now. And, hey, if he doesn't make it in the league, we can put him in college later. You know, so there's so many different moving parts that I feel like it's really, I like the idea, the concept. I think what it hopefully it does do, you know, and it might not happen immediately, but down the road is college needs to, NCAA really needs to start figuring out a way where to compensate and help pay for, pay these players, because you're using their likeness and rights to sell jerseys and merchandise and things like that and advertising them on television, but they don't get anything out of it besides obviously their scholarship, which is why they're in the first place.
Well, the NBA has a plan already. They have the G League, and that's what that's supposed to be. You know, right. Players should be able to go there, develop, and, you know, they can make money. They'll make more money than they would being in the Big Baller Brand League or whatever he wants to call it, the Junior Basketball Association. The one thing I do like about it is if you have kids that are just going to go to college, all you got to do is pass the first semester. The second semester, they don't care because, you know, the tournament will come.
Right.
So if they don't care about their education, that could be a spot for another kid that deserves it, who really would benefit from going to college, being seen. So if LeVar Ball could go talk to the NBA and actually the G League, they had, like I said, they had the system in place, but it doesn't seem to work.
Right.
I don't think they care. And maybe I don't think a lot of college athletes actually know about it.
Right.
I would love for it to be that way so the one and done can go, they can do their thing, and that would help the college game out as far as rivalries. Because look at Duke, North Carolina. That's the one that's hyped all the time because of their name, their big programs. Just think if you had players that would stay there 2 to 3 years, how much of a rivalry really could be, because we would be more familiar with their names.
Big time.
So if the NBA could actually do this with their G League, I think that would go a long way in preparing everybody for, you know, their next step in their career.
Yes.
So thinking about the next step or making up, we got Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson. You know, they've had a long feud or whatever, and it all came from comments that, well, rumors that Isaiah Thomas said, you know, talked about his sexuality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on these guys getting back together and, you know?
I think it's great. I think it just, you know, me, I'm obviously not African-American myself, but to see two prominent athletes who have their shares of differences, I guess, or, you know, especially during late in their playing careers and into their post-career, but not really ever really getting back to what they once were because when they came to the league, you know, they were super close friends and obviously had the rivalries, you know, playing against each other with the Bad Boy Pistons with Isaiah Thomas and obviously the Showtime Lakers with Magic Johnson. I think that these guys, you know, eventually it was setting a standard to know that even though, you know, things have happened in the past, we can't be adults and we can't be grown men and put, you know, our differences past it. And it's not like there was any, you know, death or something outrageously that was going on for it to be where they couldn't mend their fences. And And I think it's also shedding light on the fact that, you know, back in the days, guys were friends. I mean, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird also, even though they had a rivalry, they were friends. And a lot, because of the way the social media works in our generation, I think a lot of some of the other old school guys are also like, oh, you know, all these guys are always buddy-buddy. They're always talking and they're friends off the court and things like that. Well, I mean, these guys were too. So, well, you know, what's wrong with being friends off the court? I mean, when they step on the court, you know, they're trying to beat the other team.
Problem I have with being friends on the court is I don't want to see – I'm not going to kiss my friend on the mouth in the NBA game. Yeah. So that's – when they talk about questioning their sexuality, you got a video out there, you guys kissing. So yeah. I don't – get that whole thing, and I'm with you. You can have a friend. You can be competitive. You can go on the court. Y'all give it your all, and after that, I mean, you're your buddies.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's just the AAU ball now. That's how it is now. Right. Everybody wants to play with each other. Right. Everybody wants to win, and that's one of the things that is killing our sports. Is the word win. Right. You want to win by any means. I want to have all the best players. If I'm an AAU coach, hey, I don't even have to coach. If I have 5 or 8 of the most talented guys, then guess what? I'm going to beat you. If I implement a system, hell if I don't. These guys have high basketball IQs, and they're all on the same team. So as long as they don't play selfish, guess what? I'm going to win. I'm going to be successful. It's about me, me, me.
Right.
Now, speaking of Isaiah Thomas, let's talk about the Isaiah Thomas who got traded from Boston to Cleveland. And if you didn't know, he was hurt, and in the Players Tribune, he even said that he might not ever talk to Danny again, meaning Danny Ainge, the GM. That might not happen, Thomas said. I'll talk to everybody else, but what he did, knowing everything I went through, you don't do that, bro. That's not right. I'm not saying F you, but every team in this situation comes out a year or two later and says, we made a mistake. That's what they'll say, too. Do you think they made a mistake when they did this?
No, I don't. And mind you, this is all with the understanding that Kyrie Irving is my favorite basketball player to watch play. And obviously, watch him being my favorite player, him being on the Cavs, obviously hitting the biggest shot in Cleveland Cavaliers history and helped them win a championship along with LeBron 2 years ago. I never imagined him not playing on the Cavaliers, but definitely at least not requesting a trade as opposed to getting traded on, you know, on his, you know, by the team's merits. So when I first heard about that he wanted to get traded, you know, it was obviously a shock to me, and the rumors came out about how it's because he doesn't want to play with LeBron, he doesn't want to be in the shadows, and yada, yada, yada. So when the trade actually happened with Boston, you know, Boston obviously gave up Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, another player, and the Brooklyn pick, which is supposed to probably more than likely will end up being a top 5 pick. So at the end of the day, I think Boston had to do what was best for their franchise. I don't think they felt like they could afford to pay a 29-year-old 5'9 point guard, you know, who also just obviously had that injury, and, you know, that happened during the season, but then, you know, caught up to him in the playoffs. And who was going to be a, you know, free agent, and they weren't sure if they wanted to pay the max salary, and, you know, and then knowing that Kyrie Irving is somebody who wanted out, you know, you're basically, you know, flip flopping, you know, an all star point guard for another all star point guard
who is younger and who's actually better. So
yes, Boston won that, and he signed, you know, to a contract for another year in addition to, and, you know, they also felt like, with the addition of Jason Tatum and the flexibility that they have with all the draft picks that they're still
Jalen Brown, they hit on that.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, and just the fact that they have all those draft picks still, they have so much assets that they could still improve their team and, you know, maybe go get an Anthony Davis or, you know, or another superstar caliber player, and they can put him alongside of him. So, you know, I understand where Isaiah Thomas is coming from. And I think this is the part of, I guess, you know, I know we talked about in episode 1 and a little bit more even detailed in episode 2 when it comes to the sports life talk. This is the life part of sports that we really always want to tap into. And so just being able to see, you know, Book of Isaiah on the Players Tribune, and then just showing like that, you know, there's constant cameras around him, and so when he found out that he got traded, and how it affects not only him and then his family, you know, and like his kids, like, you know, are about to go to school, and then now they have to move from Boston all the way to Cleveland.
So do you actually think that owners take that into consideration when they're making deals?
Yes, they don't. And they're not supposed to, because at the end of the day, it's business. You know, but I think from a fan perspective and from a general population standpoint, I think what people sometimes miss out on, I mean, it's like, think about it. If you work for Google and you work in New York, corporate headquarters, and then they tell you, like, hey, you know, next week, you know, you're going to have to start working in the Los Angeles office. Well, now you have to figure out a whole, okay, I got to get rid of my house. I got to take my kids. I got to find a new school. And so even as an individual person, you have to do that. And so, but when you're looking at it from sports, you just look at it like, oh, my team got better, or I like the trade, I don't like the trade, I don't like the player, I don't. That's all that people see, but people don't dive into the, you know, deeper, because it's not affecting their personal life. But, you know, now you're able to see a little bit more with the Isaiah Thomas, like, video, like, what really goes on, what really not only goes on through his brain about, you know, I can't believe I got traded after all I did for that team and that city, but it's so much more to it than just that also, you know. And the same thing goes for Kyrie, too. Yeah, he wanted out of, you know, trade, but he was already mentally prepared for that.
Yes.
He knew he was going to go somewhere. He didn't know it was going to be Boston. I'm pretty sure Boston was not really even on his list or on his radar, because he didn't think that that would have been an opportunity. I think he wanted to be traded to the Spurs, the Knicks, and one other team. But the Boston Celtics were not on that list. And then, you know, these teams just played against each other in the Eastern Conference Finals. So for them to just basically swap their all-star point guards, and Kyrie is better, obviously.
Yes.
You know, it was mind-boggling, but, you know, it's great sports talk. And it's great for us to look forward to. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he's going to be back in the next 2 weeks, and I know in the beginning of January they do go into Boston and play against the Celtics, the Cavs do. I would be really excited to see that game, especially if he comes back and plays, because that would be must-see TV.
And that, it shouldn't be any boos. You cannot boo that
man.
He played through the death of his sister.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to play through that injury, and he did a lot for Boston.
Dropped 53 in that game. That was insane.
But like you said, this is a life of sports. And on top of that, he took it personal. And it would be hard not to, because, Danny Ainge talked to him, you know, called him first, so he was the first person to know. So that brings me to the word loyalty, and that only applies to an organization if it's going to make them money and make them look better, and they really don't care about the players and their families and what all they have to do, because, hey, these guys are millionaires, they have the money, just take your money and go to another town, and it's not that simple. That's why it's a tough business in sports, and you really can't get attached to any player as a fan. So for anybody out there that's going out and buying jerseys, I advise you to buy a blank jersey and put your name on the back of it.
Yeah.
That way you know you will always be a fan, all right?
Right.
So let's talk about the NBA All-Star. You know, this year they're switching up where the two top vote-getters are going to be the captains, and they get to pick their teams. So we're not going to worry about that. We're going to talk about Serge and KT's All-Star team. So who do you have for the East as your starters?
East. My front court players would be LeBron, obviously. I would pick Giannis Antetokounmpo as my other big.
Well, you don't have to do the bigs. Just pick five. You know, the NBA is going away from the whole four and five positions. So just pick five players.
Well, they do three front court players and two back court. So the three front court players, I would have LeBron, Giannis, and Joel Embiid. And then in my backcourt, I would probably have Kyrie and it's a toss-up between DeMar DeRozan and Victor Oladipo. But I'll probably go with DeMar DeRozan just because they have a better record and he's putting up the best stats of his career so far. Up to date.
So I'll give you my five. I'm going LeBron, Greek Freak, because I can't say his name. I know Giannis. I'm going Victor Oladipo, Joel Embiid, and Kyrie Irving. Because Oladipo, he deserves it, man. We've seen this out of DeRozan. In the NBA All-Star, It should actually focus on who's having the better season right. and who's expecting Oladipo to come out and play the way he's done.
Definitely most – he probably should definitely win most improved player this year.
Yeah, so who do you have coming out the West?
The West, I mean, it's so loaded. It's so hard to pick. Backcourt, James Harden.
Yeah.
And only because he's missed some games, and I'm pretty sure he'll probably still get voted in as, you know, as a favorite, would be Steph. But I'm going to go with Russell Westbrook. And my front court, Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, and
there's
so many players to pick from in the West.
I'll tell you my five. What you think?
Okay.
I got James Harden. I got Kevin Durant. I got Russell Westbrook. I got DeMarcus Cousins. So we're all together on that one. But I'm gonna go DeAndre Jordan too.
Okay.
So that was tough in the West. Who else would I put in? So I had to go with DeAndre Jordan, who likely won't be a Clipper too much longer because that team sucks. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
So why not try to trade him?
They beat the Rockets last night.
Okay. That is true. And Harden had 51. But what's going to kill Houston is, can you rely on CP3?
Yeah, to be on the court. I mean, it's always seems like at the worst time of the season, he's not in the game because he's injured. And it's not like an ACL for him. It's like a thumb, a back, a quad. You know, it's like lingering injuries.
Why can't you play through a thumb injury? I understand. I mean,
especially when you see somebody like Kobe do it all the time with broken fingers and all this stuff and tape it up and go back out there and play. And that's on the shooting end. You
know? So we not think that Chris Paul is a tough player?
Well, you know, those kind of things are very, you know, different because it's like you can't be in somebody else's shoes to imagine what kind of pain that they feel. You know, not everybody reacts to injuries. You know, are you hurt or are you injured? You know, and the pain threshold, it obviously is also not the same for everybody. So it's really hard to say, like, if he's not a tough player, because I feel like he is. Because, I mean, for the size he's at, I haven't really seen too many guys who plays, you know, cutthroat, you know, hard-nosed basketball, you know, who go at you and, you know, I mean, he's a dog. He's a bulldog. I mean, so... seeing him play the way he plays, it's hard to question if he's, you know, not tough when it comes to, like, obviously battling through injuries and stuff like that. So I would probably say that he's still a tough player.
So we're going to have probably LeBron and Steph Curry as the two top vote getters.
Probably.
If you're LeBron, who's your first pick?
If he wants to, you know, spice it up and change things up, I mean, if I was him,
I'm taking KD first.
I'm taking KD first too. If I was to just make things a little whatever controversial,
you'll go Kyrie,
of course. I mean that just to, you know, just so the naysayers can be like, oh, is he going to? Because that is what's going to happen. It's going to be because if he picks KD first, then Steph is the one that has to deal with, like, oh, man.
So if I'm Steph, you know what I do? I'm going to pick Westbrook.
Yeah.
So let's be real petty.
Yeah.
I'm either going to pick Westbrook or I'm going to go Kyrie. So let's see if it can be pettier.
Right. I think it would be really cool to see the mix and match of West and East players on a team. And just to throw a wrinkle in this whole All-Star game. Because when I first heard about it, I was like, okay, you're doing this just so that you think the game will be more competitive. I don't see how that's going to change.
It'll be more entertaining. I wouldn't say more competitive. Because if guys are not going to go out there and play, then it's not going to be competitive.
Right. And then that, although, you know, 3-4 years down the line, if they keep doing the same model, then that'll get boring too.
And then they have to switch it up.
Right. And, you know, I think their whole thing is like, oh, there's just too much scoring. Guys aren't playing defense. It's like, okay, what's it? Well, first and foremost, it is an All-Star game.
It's an exhibition game.
Exactly. And if the game is relatively close, when the fourth quarter comes, these guys do play to try to win the game because the team who wins, you know, all these guys get paid too.
Mm-hmm.
So they do get paid, you know, substantially 3 times more if you win than if you were to lose. Now, I know with some of these guys who are making so many millions of dollars, it's not really a big deal. They, you know, they just want to be out there and have fun. But I think it's fine the way it is. But just to throw a little wrinkle in like this, I think it's pretty cool too.
Yeah, I agree. So let's talk a little NFL, man. We both watched the Steelers versus Patriots, and I think I picked the Steelers to win. Did you pick the Patriots last week, or did we both go Steelers? I think you went Patriots because of Tom Brady.
Yes, I did pick the Patriots because of the fact that they lost the previous week to the Dolphins, and I know how usually they come back from those kind of losses, and regardless of who they're playing, it would be very difficult to beat them now. By watching the whole game, and especially the ending, they should have lost.
Yeah, if you don't know the ending we're talking about, was it Jesse James?
Yes.
He had a knee down. He caught the ball. The ball crossed the plane. No one touched him. So as soon as the ball crosses the plane, if you're a running back, that's considered a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But for a receiver or a tight end, you have to have control throughout the whole process, which makes zero sense because since he wasn't touched, and he crossed the plane. So, sir, do you want to elaborate on that?
This is the way. When I first saw the play, I was like, that's a touchdown. Like, just watching it live, I thought it was a touchdown. Watching the replay, I did see that, when he tried to put the ball across the goal line, that it got loose and he didn't have a full grasp of it. But my thing is, they say it's in the rule book. Ground cannot cause a fumble. That's number one. Number two, at any point, if anybody, doesn't matter who it is, has the ball and they're going in to score the touchdown, if the nose of the football crosses the white plane in the end zone, it's the play is dead and it's a touchdown. So where I was confused is, well, he caught the ball. He's already, as he's catching the ball, hit the knee's already down. So that means whether he got touched or not, he's already caught it and his knee is down. Now, as he's reaching across the goal line, as soon as he crosses it, it should be a touchdown.
It should be a touchdown.
If the play is over, the hand going down to the ground, making the ball loose, shouldn't have any bearings on the end result of a catch. And this is, I don't understand how they're making this rule as complicated as it is, and obviously we've seen a couple of these from Calvin Johnson to the Dez Bryant catch, and you know so many other times where
that was ridiculous. So and Calvin Johnson too.
Right, so many different variations. Like you can't have variations of when it is a catch, when it's not. If you're keeping the rule, well, it's like okay, you have one rule, okay, complete the catch all the way throughout, but you have a different rule when it comes to the end zone. Well, if that rule, but you just brought in the rule for anywhere else besides the end zone into an end zone play. And that's what didn't make sense to me. Now, you know, the fact that they were able to even get down all the way to that point right after the Patriots just scored, and I think there was only like 52 seconds left or something. So the fact that they even drove it down, I didn't think that was possible because they needed a touchdown because of feel that they were down four. So they had to get a touchdown. So, you know, I know they hit that play to Juju Smith-Schuster, like a 60-yard play, cut it down. And then, you know, it's like, okay, well, if it's an incomplete catch, you know, they also ran some seconds off the clock right after that too. So it's like, it's just so many moving parts. Like you just, by making one stupid call, and this is going back and looking at the tape. It isn't like the ref made the bad call on the field. It's like, no, we called it a catch. We called it a touchdown. And then we're going to go back and look at it. And we're going to change it because he didn't have possession. But the ball crossed the plane. And every other time you call it a touchdown, that does not make
sense. So why do the Patriots seem to benefit from every call? We had the tough rule. We got this now. We also had the one play where they had a receiver that was lined up, but he was ineligible.
Right. And they changed that rule this year.
And it's always something benefiting them. I don't see how you can look at that play and say, hey, that's not a touchdown. It's ridiculous. Let's just go back. Like John Gruden said on Troy Wingo and Golick. Let's just go back to like the 60s when the guy caught it and the referee made that decision.
leave it at two.
Yeah, you didn't need replay to see that.
Right.
Like you said, his knee was down, so he had possession of the ball. So right there, he already made a football move. So once he stretches across the plane, the goal line, that's a touchdown.
Right.
We just want to overcomplicate everything, mm-hmm. and it is sickening. And for the Steelers to lose that game on that manner,
yeah.
If I was Tomlinson, he's better than me because I would have went.
Oh, yeah. Big time. I mean, I would have probably not let those refs leave that field that night.
So. I mean, and you can't. And then your quarterback comes back and makes a bonehead play on a fake spike and blames everybody else besides himself. But that's what Big Ben does. He deflects all the attention away from him.
But it's, on one hand, you shouldn't even be in that position to even make that play.
That's true.
On the flip side, I do agree. The previous play, right before that, you know, throwing a little shallow cross to a guy who's only caught one ball all season, and he didn't get out of bounds, so now you have to. It was third down. Clock it. Go for it on fourth down. And, I mean.
Or just kick the field goal in that position.
Right.
It's amazing how people like to say, you know, one play doesn't make a game. Yes, it does.
And one call, too.
One call.
Right.
All right, so let's move on to our NFL picks. So we got the Falcons at Saints, Seahawks at Cowboys, the Bills are taking on the Patriots, Colts at Ravens, and the Raiders and Eagles are ending the Monday night. So who do you have for the Falcons and Saints?
I got the Saints in the division game, obviously. Saints playing at home. I don't trust the Falcons, even though I know they've been playing a little bit better recently, but I don't trust them. But Drew Brees with those two running backs and Ingram and Kamara, and their defense even playing way better than anybody anticipated.
That is just funny, the Saints and defense. That's something that never went together.
Never, right. So I got the Saints in this one, and quite honestly, I don't even think it's going to be that close. That's just my
opinion. I'm going Saints too, and I'm thinking they at least win by 17. So let's go Seahawks versus the Cowboys.
Now, this definitely, I feel like it's obviously the game of the weekend.
It's now going to be our game of the weekend. How about that?
All right, I'll give you that. You know, both teams, 8-6. On one hand, you got Seahawks who just got smashed by the Rams last weekend at home.
And the Rams, they didn't even do any spooning. That was just straight. They took that.
Yeah, it's like the Seahawks, they have, you know, that on their minds. You know, they're trying to obviously, you know, still figure out a way to make the playoffs. So they need this win, just like the Cowboys need this win. The Cowboys obviously will have Zeke coming back and playing at home. This is a tough call. I'm going to go with my...
Make the right call, sir.
I'm going to go with my head and not my heart.
Don't do it, sir.
I'm going to pick the Cowboys.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Cowboys. I think it's, you know, it will be a really, really close game. I don't know about Zeke talking about getting 200 rushing yards against the Seahawks defense, but.
Well, you know what? I would benefit from that because he is on my fantasy football team and I am in the championship. We're going to talk about our fantasy football teams later.
All right. Yeah, I think the Cowboys will win, 27-25.
See, I'm going Cowboys, of course. It's not going to be too many games. I'll just tell y'all right now, I'm supposed to be, you know, biased or whatever, but when it comes to the Cowboys, I'm going to pick them to win every week, so I'll probably be wrong.
16-0.
Yeah. So I'm going to go the score. I don't think it's going to be that close either, Serge. I think it's going to be 31-17.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think Zeke's coming back is going to bring energy to this team that they haven't had in the past couple of weeks, and we're going to win by at least 14 points, so I'm going there. So Bills versus Patriots, who you got? You know what? I'm going to go Bills.
Okay.
And you know why? Because of the dirty play that Gronk did. Okay. I'm thinking the Bills are going to rise to the occasion, and they're going to beat the Patriots.
Okay.
Let's go Colts versus Ravens, a game I know you're looking forward to.
Baltimore's at home. I think the Ravens will win this game pretty easily. I think their defense is, so stout. I mean, they've been playing super excellent. I think Baltimore and Minnesota's defense has probably been the best defenses all year. And the Colts just don't have enough, playmakers on the field to make enough points, to beat the Ravens. So I'm picking the Ravens.
I think out of all the picks, it's probably the easiest one. Yeah. And I'm going to go Ravens, too. And another reason I'm going there, because I have Collins, a running back for the Ravens. So, Serge, if your coach were to win, I wouldn't mind as long as he had, like, three touchdowns with 100 yards. Can we do that?
Okay.
All right, so let's move on to the Raiders versus the Eagles. Who do you got?
I got the Eagles. The Raiders, I mean, they put up a, you know, decently good fight against the Cowboys. I mean, that ending was crazy, too.
Yeah.
I didn't really touch on that, but.
Well, we can talk about it, though. What do you think about that? I mean, that was clear. The ball slipped out of his hand. That was a touchback.
I do. It was clear. And by the letter of the law, yes, it should be the Cowboys' ball. Do I think it's a stupid rule, just like the catch rule that they have? Yes, and I think they need to change it, because if he's lunging, he's going out of bounds. Okay, he's out of bounds. Who cares where the ball is? If the ball is out of his hands and he can't score the touchdown, okay, well, give them the ball back where he went out of bounds and go to the next play.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you on this one. Only because
I can understand if you're going into the end zone and then you lose the ball, as opposed to the ball just going on top of the pylon. You know what I mean? It's not like he's just throwing it. I mean, obviously an offensive player wouldn't throw away the ball trying to score. Like, that doesn't even make any sense.
So if you were to change the rule, how would you change it? You would just give them the ball back?
My thing is, like, how can you give the other team the ball when I'm trying to score and I lunge and the ball goes on top of the pylon and on the other side of the end zone? So if I lose possession on something that, you know, is a very technicality rule, and I think that they should at least, you know, even if you had to say that, you know, there's a penalty even behind, you know, having that done, or something to change it to where, like, I just don't see how a team can lose possession of the ball to the other team, you know, when that other team really doesn't have anything to do with why the play ended up being the way it was.
And I think your key words are lose possession. So if he loses possession of the ball and it goes into the end zone and the other team lands on it, that's a touchback, right? That's going to be their ball at the 20. If his teammate runs and gets the ball, it's a touchdown. So yeah. I get the rule, and I get what you're saying, too.
But my thing is, if it happened anywhere else and the ball can – if I lost the ball and the ball rolled 10, 15 yards forward and then it rolled out of bounds, I get the ball there.
Yes.
That also is a stupid rule, you know, because, like, the team shouldn't benefit from the ball just keep rolling and rolling and rolling. So it's like I can actually be running with the ball. I look up at the, you know, I see this guy chasing behind me on the jumbotron. I'm at the 20, and I just kind of flick the ball forward and make sure that it, you know, maybe goes out at the 5. That means you're going to give me the ball at the 5? Like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
No, I agree with you on that.
You know, so there's got to be some sort of, because it's like in basketball, like a kickball. Like, well, there's a kickball that's like somebody honestly sticking their leg out to kick it, or sometimes it just, the ball just rolling on the ground and it ends up hitting the defensive player's leg. You know, it's like you got to figure out a way to tweak the rule to where it makes sense and is not benefiting either team in any way. I just don't feel like you should lose possession of the ball unless the other team actually had something to do with you losing the possession.
I got you, and I think you're kind of hating on the Cowboys too. So let's go back to the Raiders versus Eagles.
Yeah, I got the Eagles. I mean, I know they've already pretty much locked the number one seed. But I think Nick Foles probably, I'm sure they're trying to make sure that he has camaraderie with the team, get some more reps with the unit. And the Raiders really, you know, don't have really much to play for. But so who knows? Maybe they might, you know, play with a lot more on the shoulders because of the way they lost to the Cowboys. But I'm still going to go with the Eagles. I think they're just a way better overall team.
I'm going with the Eagles, too, and it's more for fantasy football, too. So, speaking of fantasy football, Serge, how did your team end up doing this year, man?
My team, I made it to the playoffs. I was, number 3 seed going into the playoffs, played the number 2 seed. And I'll be honest, I felt like the Seahawks against the Rams. And because of that game, actually, because my buddy that I played against, he had Todd Gurley, and obviously he put up 43 points, and I think just those 43 points alone probably scored more than 5 of my players. It wasn't even close. I think it was like I had like 81 points. He had like 130 or something. So it was none of my guys, Tom Brady, you know, nobody really did well. I had Devontae Adams scored a touchdown, and then he got hurt, got concussed, didn't come back in the game. So just wasn't my year. And so I'm quote-unquote playing for third place, even though we don't have anything for third place. But
well,
I always play to the very end, though.
I'm with you. I'm in second place. I'm in the championship. So I got Nick Foles going, AJ Green, Tyreek Hill, Alex Collins, Ezekiel Elliott, Zach Ertz, and Leonard Fournette. But I'm going against Tom Brady, Larry Fitzgerald, Juju Schuster, LeSean McCoy, Kareem Hunt, Greg Olsen, and Mike Wallace. So I'm liking my chances.
I do like your chances.
But that's why I need the Bills to show up, and that I don't need Brady to have like a revenge game against anybody. I just, you know, need that to flow.
I think the key guy on the other team you want to actually hope that doesn't do well is actually Juju Smith-Schuster, because Antonio Brown is not playing.
But you know what? You know what I did though? I picked up Bryant, but I can see I can see myself putting him in over AJ Green or Tyreek Hill.
No. But you pick him up so that somebody, you know, the other guy can.
Yeah, I got beat. He beat me to Juju because I didn't know that he was out there. And, you know, we have that the waiver wire or whatever. So he beat me there. So hopefully the next podcast I'll be a little richer. So speaking of the NFL game, let's talk about some of the NBA Christmas games. We have the Knicks versus Sixers.
I'm really excited about almost all, if not all, the games. This game obviously is going to have on the Knicks side, you got Porzingis, you got Michael Beasley, who's been playing really well. And on the flip side, obviously, you got the two studs with, you know, Rookie of the Year candidate Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I think it's going to be a great game. You know, I think it's great that they put Philly, knowing that these guys were going to be coming out. I don't think they expected even Ben Simmons to be this good, but just the fact that they put this team so that your average fan can actually see how good this team is, and I think they'll get to see a good brand of basketball. And the Knicks are playing a lot better. Thank God they got rid of Phil Jackson and stopped running a stupid triangle that you know won't ever work again. You know, so I think it'll be a good game. I'm excited to see you know, Porzingis and Joel Embiid go at it.
Speaking of the Knicks, isn't it funny how whenever Carmelo leaves a team, they actually get better?
Yep, it sure is. And, you know, at the rate that they're going right now, you know, they haven't made the playoffs the last 4 years, I believe. And, you know, if the playoffs were to start today, they'd be in the playoffs. So just that alone should show you. And it's not like they went out and picked up a whole bunch of different, you know, different people. They basically just swapped Carmelo, got Cantor, you would expect. And it's like Cantor's actually playing better than Carmelo is for the Thunder.
That's crazy.
So, but... I mean, just the fact, you know, the Knicks are playing well when Porzingis goes 0-for-11, scores 1 point, and they still beat the Celtics.
They still beat them.
So that kind of shows you how hard they're playing. They're playing together. You know, it's always good for the NBA when the Knicks are playing well because of the fact that they're playing in the Mecca, New York. You know, and it's just so much more influence that the Knicks carry into the basketball. And then their fans, you know, they can sometimes be a little annoying, but they are hardcore about their team and they give it their all, and it gets super loud in there. And I like watching, you know, Knicks play, and I like watching the Sixers play too.
So we also have the Cavs versus Warriors, Wizards versus Celtics, Thunder versus Rockets, and Timberwolves versus the Lakers. So which game are you really looking forward to seeing?
I think the obvious choice, you know, would be to see the rematch of the Cavs and the Warriors. Now, it is a little different because Steph Curry is not playing for the Warriors.
No Kyrie this year.
No Kyrie this year. No Isaiah Thomas won't be playing for the Cavs as well. I think it'll just be great to see, in my opinion, the best player, LeBron, second best player, Kevin Durant, going at it. I think to see them go at it, you know, just to kind of give you a little bit of a glimpse to see, because, you know, Cavs do have a little bit more depth than they did last year. You know, just to try to be able to see, like, you know, they're going to be able to throw Jay Crowder on Kevin Durant. They're going to be able to throw Jeff Green at Kevin Durant. Now, I think, you know, bringing D Wade into the element, because he hasn't been part of that rivalry the last few years with the Warriors, you know, but he does bring a championship pedigree to the team. You know, just so many different moving parts that make this game the obviously the highlight game of the day. And I'm always also really looking forward to the Thunder and the Rockets. The Thunder and the Rockets. Thunder started out slow. I know it. We even kind of brought up. You know, they were struggling.
Hashtag hire Mark Jackson.
Hashtag hire Mark Jackson. Yeah, and then, but in the last 12 games, they're 9-3. You got the Rockets, who just lost to the Lakers and the Clippers back to back games at home, even though James Harden scored 51 points in each game. So, you know, and I'm pretty sure, you know, the Rockets, you know, aren't going to try to lose three, don't want to lose three in a row. The Thunder want to kind of keep a streak that they're going on. I watched about 6 or 8 minutes of the fourth quarter of last night's Thunder game, and I finally saw a little bit of tweak. I don't know whose idea it was. Hopefully it was Billy Donovan's idea, where I saw them running, you know, multiple pick and roll options with all three, Paul George, Carmelo, and Russell Westbrook in the same play. And what it does was it was opening up the lane for Russell Westbrook, but if you collapsed on him, I mean, Carmelo is getting just wide open catch and shoot looks. He doesn't need to get the ball, you know, 15 feet and on the wing where he decides, am I going to post up? Am I going to hold the ball? And, you know, what he used to do with the Knicks, like just hold the ball. Like you got to, you know, we don't, unfortunately, in the way that the league is working right now, you got to move the ball. You got to, you know, or if you, as soon as you catch it, make a decision. You can't wait. Jab, step, and then make a decision. And I think, you know, if that was a glimpse of what they're trying to work on, and, you know, it's a work in progress, because eventually the talent will kick in to where, you know, having three, you know, all-star, two superstar caliber players can pretty much be beneficial to you, especially come playoff time. So I'm really looking forward to the Thunder and the Rockets game, too.
Yeah, we agree on that. I'm going Thunder versus Rockets. I mean, we've seen the Cavs and Warriors. It's overhyped. Now, if it was the finals, it would be something different. Right. But Christmas Day is just another game. I'd rather see the Thunder versus the Rockets because I think that will be more competitive.
Right.
Speaking of competition, there you can't try to get Lane Kiffin right now. He's going to stay at Florida Atlantic for the next 10 years. Serge, what in the hell were they thinking when they gave him a 10-year contract with his history?
I feel like he has to have something on that school. Like, they must have been doing something shady before he came. I don't know. It's one thing to get shocked when, you know, somebody, a player in any sport, get signed for 10 years. And coaches, you know, like, I mean, look at somebody like Nick Saban. You know, if he can't get 10 years, if some of the top coaches in any pro league can't get 10-year contracts, out of all the people, Lane Kiffin, with his history, like you mentioned,
he got fired from the Raiders.
Right.
He went to Tennessee after that.
Right.
Stayed there 1 year. Mm-hmm. Left to go USC. Didn't do a good job there.
Right.
Got fired there. He went to go be Nick Saban's offensive coordinator.
Right.
Nick Saban got tired of him.
Right.
He went to Florida Atlantic. He's only going to be – that's a stepping stone. He's going to be there, I give him 2 to 3 years tops, and he's out of there.
I agree too, and I'm pretty sure. I mean, obviously, I haven't obviously read into the details of exactly his contract, not just the financial side of it, but, you know, there's got to be some kind of caveat that the Florida Atlantic program can get out of his contract, probably still pay him off a little bit, but where, like whether it's 2 or 3 years, it definitely ain't gonna be more than 5 years, and no way in heck it's going to be 10 years. Like, he's not going to last 10 years on that program.
Not there. It's not.
He's going to shoot himself in the foot before that happens.
That's not a destination spot. So let's move on to the Ravens president, the Baltimore Ravens president, Dick Cass, noted that there had been an upsurge in no-shows this season and indicated that he believed protests were one of the reasons why. Serge, do you agree with him?
No. I think... Okay, you know what? I'll take that back. I won't say completely flat out no. Of course, I do think there's got to be some. But that's not just the Ravens. And I think that goes across the league. So if the Ravens president is only specifically talking about his team, he needs to also understand that, I think they already started losing some of the fans, you know, not going to their games. You know, even a few years ago when the whole Ray Rice incident actually happened. And I think from there on, it's like, you know, I mean, and the team, obviously, it's playing really well, because if fans really want to show up to your game, they're going to show up to your game. And if you're playing team playing really well, they're going to show up to the game. So you can't say that the protest, you know, is the main reason why people aren't coming to the game. Because, you know, it's like, you know, what kind of marketing are you doing? And, you know, what kind of, you know, there's so many different layers to how, why people buy tickets and how people even get to buy tickets. You know, are you, you know, what are the prices like? Are you increasing the prices on the tickets because your team's actually playing better? And, you know, as we get closer to the playoffs, more and more meaningful games. So now we're going to, you know, uptick the prices on the tickets, because, you know, some of these owners at the end of the day, they just look at the bottom line. Whether they win a Super Bowl or not, yeah, of course they would like to win, but, you know, they're always looking out for the, you know, on the money side of it too. But that's just, you know, my opinion.
And I don't want to give the Eagles players or fans any kind of credit, but look at the Eagles fans. Their players protested. Mm-hmm. They still showed up.
Right.
You know, maybe if the Baltimore Ravens put a better product on the field, that would help. Right. And start by removing Joe Flacco. You should have had Colin Kaepernick there.
49. I mean, look at the 49ers. They're obviously, Colin Kaepernick started the protest there. Even though he's not there, you still got Eric Reed and some of the other guys who were still
And they still had fans showing up. And that team was terrible.
Horrible. And they fill in the stands. So you can't necessarily, if you have enough evidence all across the league, where the Ravens president said, our team, along with, you know, five or six other teams, okay, then you might have a point. But if you're specific just to your team, I mean, I just don't see where the evidence is to back it up with, you know. So show me exactly how you came to this conclusion. I need to see some data on this and not just some words.
And that's just like the Papa John's owner or whatever, how he came out and said, hey, how the protests affected his sales, and now he had to step down.
With a bunch of
grass. Dude, I buy Papa John's maybe twice a week. So your sales aren't affected that much for you to come out and say something that crazy.
It wouldn't have mattered with Papa John's, Pizza Hut, Domino's. It doesn't matter. Like, people never really look at the grand scheme of things and understand that.
I mean,
people have options.
Yeah, maybe if you had better deals, they'd be a little cheaper, because your pizza is great.
Right.
But maybe if you have some better deals, we'll buy more pizza from you.
But, like, even something simple as, like, okay, before, I would say, 5 years ago, if you wanted to get something delivered, pizza, maybe Chinese food or something like that. Other than that, you can't get anything delivered. Now, you can get Uber Eats. I can get McDonald's, Wendy's, Whataburger. I can get Wingstop. I can get Hooters. I can get almost any restaurant that's there, I can get food from. So why would people limit themselves just eating pizza when they can maybe eat healthier, they can eat cheaper, they can eat more bundle, where, you know that some people, you know, they have to worry about kids and family. Some people don't eat meat. Some people don't eat, you know. So there's so many different complexity issues that's why your sales are hurting. And I think that's across, you know, any pizza chain. I don't think it's just a Papa John's situation.
He's just the one that's associated with the NFL. He's the face of pizza for the NFL. So that's where. Serge, I didn't want to say anything, man, but when you came in this morning, you like you had something on your mind. You got something you want to get off, man?
I do. And I really, really, really thought I would never, ever bring this up on our podcast throughout whenever we, you know, we are going to be doing it. Just because I don't ever want to come across as, you know, dictating or having opinions based off, like, you know, watching other shows and podcasts and things like that. But, man, so for the last 6 years, 7 years, you know, I've been watching ESPN First Take. Now, obviously when I'm at work, I can't obviously watch it. So what I do is I wait till like 1 o'clock. They'll have the podcast, and when I go to lunch, I'll listen to the podcast and on my drive home. And then, so obviously, ESPN First Day became really famous with Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith.
Don't forget Molly. Please don't forget Molly.
And Molly too. And obviously, last year, you know, the contract for Skip Bayless was up, and with ESPN, and Fox went after him hard. and they paid him, I want to say it was $3 million for 4 years, or $3 million a year for 4 years of $12 million, or 4 years of $3 million for 12. I know it was $12 million. I don't know if it was 3 years or four, but either way, he's either making $3 million a year or $4 million a year. And obviously ESPN did a match that. So he started on FS1, Undisputed with Shannon Sharp. So, you know, it's obviously different than ESPN First Take. But the one thing that's constant is Skip Bayless and how he talks and who he roots for and things like that. And this is where, you know, I wanted to make it a point of emphasis. And I know you do too. And one of the main reasons we've agreed to do this together is that at the end of the day, like, I know you mentioned it even a second ago about the Cowboys. Like, yeah, you're going to be somewhat biased and things like that because that's your team. But at the end of the day, once you watch the game and you saw that fair and square, my team won, or fair and square, my team lost.
Yes.
And you can put the blame on the quarterback, the running back, the defensive player, Jason Garrett. Right. So, but calling it like it is at the end of the day, because of realizing that, okay, you know, it is just a sport. And yes, our job on this podcast is to discuss and talk sports. But one thing I've been following that's been consistent with Skip Bayless is the continuous hate that he has towards LeBron. And I feel like it's now coming to a point where he doesn't he's already ran out of things to say to get at LeBron, that he's, you know, running out of words, running out of, like, examples to use. And every single conversation for him that has to do with LeBron is constantly, somehow he's always trying to make sure that he brings Michael Jordan into the equation. When, what does Michael Jordan have to do with when LeBron's playing a regular season game in his 15th season and he's playing out of his mind? Like, he doesn't have anything to do with anything. You know, the other day, you know, I know they, you know, the Cavs lost a game to, I forgot who they lost to, but, you know, It was a close game. Oh, they were the Pacers, and you know, they lost the game. Okay, they lost the game, but he makes it seem like, oh, well, you know, if that was Michael Jordan, he would have figured out a way to win. Like, Michael Jordan didn't win every game.
He didn't win every game
in regular season. I mean, he's got a commercial where he talks about, you know, I've missed more than I've made, whether it's game winning shots in the third quarter, second quarter. And I just think it's, you know, I don't know how Shannon Sharp, who is a big LeBron fan and is constantly all about LeBron, but at the end of the day, he also, you know, a few weeks ago, he said that, you know, he pointed out when, you know, they did lose a game that it was because of two turnovers that LeBron made. So even though he's a fan of LeBron, but he calls it and says it like it is, as opposed to, I mean, he just constantly, the whole, You know, Shannon Sharp will bring up a point. Well, you know, hey, what about the first, you know, 6-7 years? You know, Michael Jordan was in the league until he got Scottie Pippen. He couldn't beat anybody in the playoffs. But look at LeBron. You know, in his first couple of years, he got into the playoffs. In his third season, he got into the finals, beat the Pistons, who were going consistently to the Eastern Conference Finals or the finals, and won a championship in 2004. So, oh, Michael Jordan was just a baby. What was LeBron? LeBron actually came straight out of high school as opposed to Michael Jordan going to college. So, if anything, he was actually older coming in the league as opposed to younger. And look at the team that he was on. The argument isn't who's better. The argument is, okay, he took a team that was lesser and beat the team. Now, of course, okay, maybe his competition is a little stiffer, or was a little stiffer than what LeBron has to face. But at the end of the day, you play the team that's right in front of you.
I wouldn't say it's stiffer. I think it was just tougher because of the rules, right, and how physical it was. I wouldn't say that the competition was stiffer. You
know? Right. And I, my whole thing when it comes to him is, okay, do I think that, you know, like that 07 team that he went and played Spurs and obviously got swept, like, I mean, an average Joe NBA fan couldn't name the other four guys that he played with on that starting line, you know? And then, you know, going and playing against the Mavs in 2011. Yes, I'm a Mavs fan, and I was super happy that they won. But I will acknowledge that, you know, that was his worst performance in a playoff, like, you know, especially in the fourth quarter of game 4, 5, and 6 consecutively, you know, he came up short.
Just be honest. He played like a piece of you know what, but right. Since it's Christmas time, we'll say like a piece of coal. That's what he played like.
Yeah. And then the next year they come back, you know, he's more refocused. He's, you know, got even better, whatever you want to call it. And then, you know, they go and they beat, they're down 1-0 to the Thunder. They beat Thunder 4 straight. Then the next year, you know, yes, does the shot that Ray Allen hit have something to do with getting to a point of having a game 7? Yes. But at the same time, game 7 still has to be played by the same two teams. So the other time, the other team also had the same equal chance to win as his team. Now, he had to put up, I think he scored 37 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists or something. So he won the MVP, deservedly so. But instead of giving him credit for winning those two championships with the Heat, all he wants to talk about is, if it wasn't for Ray Allen, and the next year, well, you know, a LeBron-led team, but not pointing out Dwayne Wade wasn't who he was, you know. And also, this was the same team that you just played a season before, so they already kind of, and you, they were up on you, so they should have won. Why would you expect any different result the following year? You know, so it's like, instead of actually calling it like it is and saying, and then, and a lot of people have this argument too, and I'm sure we could probably talk about this one day when, you know, the first year the Warriors and Cavs played, they, you know, they didn't have Kevin Love, and Kyrie went out after game 1. You know, he didn't play the rest of the series. And then LeBron still beat them in another game, or 2 games, and were up 2-1. And obviously they made the lineup change with Iguodala on LeBron, and then they lost 3 straight. Well, the following year, that's when, you know, the Cavs came back down 3-1. But Draymond Green was suspended for game 5.
Yes.
Back in Golden State, LeBron scores 41. Kyrie scores 41. Now, if Draymond Green was on the floor, do I expect them to both drop 41? Maybe not. But can I honestly for sure say, like, of course, there's obviously a better chance that Draymond would give them. But you can't say that they would have won for sure. Then he does come back for game 6 and game 7. Oh, well, Andrew Bogut was also not. Like, what? You're the same guy who called Andrew Bogut Andrew Bogut.
Yes.
But then when it comes to giving, not wanting to give LeBron credit, you're willing to bring up other excuses for what happened on the opposite end to get LeBron that result that he got. And that's my biggest problem. And I think, I don't know, I mean, for the money he gets, you know, paid, you know, I'm sure he's obviously worked hard, and obviously, you know, I respect the guy, and I will continue to listen to him because I'm not going to get upset over. I just feel like it just needs to be said. Like, I mean, I just wish that people, you know, he would just kind of tone it down a little bit, just call it like it is, give him credit where credit is due. You know, he was making like, oh, look at the win streak that they went on. They're playing against all these no-name teams. Like, he has no competition in the East. Well, how is that his fault? It's not his fault that the East is weak. It's not his fault that all the guys are in the, all the main players are in the West. Like, so, how can you, they beat Atlanta, you know, twice or 3 times in this winning streak. Do they play the Atlanta Hawks 3 times?
Yeah.
3 times in, you have to play the schedule that's in front of you. You can't, you know, but you're like making different excuses because you don't want to give the credit. I'm not going to sit here and say he's better than Michael Jordan, but you cannot continue to just hate on the man when he's doing things that we've rarely ever seen done, and you just don't want to give him the credit because you're so gung-ho on Michael Jordan.
Well, with Skip Bayless, you know, when he was in the Dallas area, he would say something in the newspaper and then something on TV totally different, so he was always right. But I do want to give credit to one person that we didn't talk about on Undisputed, and that's Joy Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's a beautiful woman. Yeah. All right, Serge, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, this one's easy. Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Home Alone 1 and 2. I mean, those, I'm sure they're probably going to start playing Home Alone on 24-hour watch starting tomorrow. I'm definitely going to probably watch it at least once or twice. So that's the Christmas movie. It's right up there too, but I would definitely say Home Alone. I mean, Macaulay Culkin and his acting. And Donald Trump. Don't forget Donald Trump.
Oh, God. I'm really not watching that. I'm going to go Elf.
Elf, okay.
Elf, man. Will Ferrell. He just made that movie just... It was too easy for him. That was a really good movie. Yeah,
he's being himself.
There you go. Say, Serge, how can they reach us?
Everybody, if you're listening to us, please follow us on our social media at Sports Life Talk on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, if you have any comments, questions, and our email address is sportslifetalk, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also tune in to us on blogtalkradio.com/sportslifetalk and soundcloud.com/sportslifetalk. Follow us.
On behalf of Sports Life Talk and everyone at Roberts Media Group and Blog Talk Radio, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Remember, Santa Claus is coming. Whether you've been naughty or nice, I hope you've been nice. But everybody have a great Christmas. Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas, man.